Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
My New Year resolution, that doesn't really matter much, but matters to me, is to have a really cool new pulpit. Has anyone ever seen the pulpits that light up? No? Is this just something that your pastor geeks out about? Probably. Okay. All right. If you are a child or a youth, you can go out. We've got an incredible day planned for you. Pastor Brian has launched a new youth curriculum. So I think it's middle school and high school age. All right. So if that's you, go to the back there. I've got two testimonies I just wanted to start out with here. Even if you're childlike, please stay here, all right? But as people are here, I wanted to share a really cool one with Leah this morning, all right? Leah's car would not start, so we're in worship practice, and I'm playing the music, and the phone rings, and I thought, oh, this is really bad, because if someone knows I'm playing the piano in worship practice and they're still calling me, it means this is very serious. So I pick up the phone, and she's like, my car won't start. It was running for 30 minutes to defrost, right? Who defrosted their car this morning? If you didn't, God bless you. I hope you're defrosted now. She said it was running for 30 minutes and then it just stopped. And now it says that it won't recognize my key. Like it won't run. So I'm like, well, I can't go get you. Like, we got to pray that this works. So in the phone, I was like, in Jesus' name, we just command your car to start. And she pressed the button and it started right then. Isn't that amazing? And then the second testimony is Sue, which I'm trying to, there you are, you're hiding behind Steve there. There you go, thank you. So Sue, she fractured her arm skiing a couple weeks ago, and the pipe burst last Sunday, so we didn't have church as we normally do. Thank you for your prayers and support through that moment. But she's back, so she only missed really, I think, one opportunity to worship, and she was playing the harp with her fractured arm this morning. And are you still okay? She's still okay. All right. So my encouragement to you this morning is, if you had a hard time worshiping Jesus, like raising your arm, or you thought you'd look stupid if you raised your arm, just think of Sue, who somehow managed to play the harp with her fractured arm. All right. So hopefully that moves us a little bit to step out of our comfort zone. Okay. So I want to continue our Lace Up series. This is your first time here. We are launching the new year in our Lace Up series. So Lace Up, you heard me right. I'm actually talking about shoelaces here, okay? And our whole series is about running the race to win in 2022. How many want to lose this year, right? You just like woke up on January 1st and you're like, this is the year to lose, right? No, right? Nobody does that, hopefully. If you're doing that, talk to me. We'll pray, right? But people want to win. You want to win. And winning in the world, that's not necessarily what we're talking about, all right? Because oftentimes, if you're winning with Jesus, it might even look like you're losing to other people. But what we're talking about is winning with God. And you can't run a race if your shoelaces aren't tied. And so this whole series that we're doing, and we're coming up on week 4, is talking about, what does it look like for you to take the next step in Jesus this year? What does it look like for 2022 to look different than 2021 with God? How do you need to lace up your shoes? What steps do you need to take with your personal relationship with God? And I want to invite you, if you don't have a relationship with God, or you want to renew your relationship with God, I'm going to be doing a prayer at the end of this for that as well. So I wanted to start by reviewing the last 3 Sundays. We talked about putting on the shoes of peace the first Sunday. We talked about running the right race. Right? We talked about how sometimes you can be running a race and you get detoured mid-race, and suddenly you're running a race that God didn't call you to do. You're doing something God didn't call you to do, or goes against what he says to do, and you don't even realize it. And you're running for a celery crown. Who remembers the celery crown? Anyone remember the celery crown? If you're new here, you're like, what the heck is she talking about? Well, in Paul says, don't run a race to get a crown that fades away. And I always thought the crown that fades away was like some cool gold crown that like is like, oh, it fades away when like the earth blows up or something, you know? But no, it was actually referring to these ancient Greek games where they would win celery crowns, literally a piece piece of celery. I mean, it was like dried celery, but don't run your life. Don't run 2022 for celery crown. Don't try and set goals in your life that at the end of the year aren't going to matter because you didn't come to God and you didn't get a heaven on earth vision for your life, for whatever area of life you're going to him for. And then last Sunday, we talked about running forwards, not retro. Who joined in last Sunday online? Did that work out all right? You should have been here. Brian and I were like, I was like shouting at the camera. It's like a completely empty space. It is the weirdest thing to preach to a camera. But retro running means it's an actual sport. They have like world champions. And you run like this. That's how you run. And apparently, if you actually have an injury, it's actually better on your joints to run this way. Just as a little heads up, if anyone wants to go running. If I see any of you guys running down Johnson Road, I'm going to be like, they do not go here. I do not know them, right? I'm not a running coach. I should have a disclaimer, a medical disclaimer here. But God does not call us to run backwards, right? He calls us to run forwards, to keep our eyes on the prize, to keep our eyes on the future and not the past, not our mistakes, not what others have done to us or what we've done to others, but to keep our eyes moving forward. And I don't know about you, but that is something that God is burning on my heart this year. And sometimes I'm like, well, of course, I'm not going to dwell on the past. But then have you ever just woken up and you're just faced with discouragement? And discouragement is not a voice from the future. Discouragement is a voice from the past, and it's a sign you need to turn and face Jesus, right? So this morning, we're going to be talking about receiving and giving. And I actually, because the pipes burst and everything kind of changed schedule-wise, I have a whole nother message prepared that I'm going to save for next Sunday, all right? So don't miss next Sunday. We're going to do it with communion and testimonies, and it's going to be a fantastic time of encouragement and power in God. But before we got to that message, God gave me this week. And so I want to just start with two jokes, and then we're going to get into the actual meat of the message here. I witnessed my shoelaces fight today. It was a tie. Yes, yes. All right. And then number two, you need to be able to do your shoelaces before you get married. Otherwise, you might struggle to tie the knot. Yes. All right. If you have never heard my father preach, you know he cannot tell a joke, and I'm pretty sure I got that inheritance. So we're just going to keep moving here. If you've got your Bible, open up to Matthew 10, please. God has been putting a burden on my heart this week like I've never had it before to pray. And I want you to know that if you're sitting here today, I have been praying for you. Even if I don't know your name, I have been praying for you like no other time, actually. God has just been putting that burden. I don't know if it's a burden that he's putting on you, but he's putting it on me. And I want to invite you into a season of prayer in February. I'm going to talk about that at the end of this message. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. I actually hear pages ruffling. This is good. Not everyone's just got their smartphone out. All right. Give as freely as you have received. I'm just talking about the last part of that verse. I encourage you this week, meditate on the whole part, but I'm just going to land on the last part. Give as freely as you have received. Received means to lay hold of by aggressively accepting what is available. That'd be like if you're in a Starbucks line and your coffee's on the counter, you're not just picking it up, but you're like tackling people through the line to get the coffee that's available to you, all right? That's the mental image for receiving here, all right? To lay hold of by aggressively accepting what is available freely as you have received, right? Freely means unearned or not done out of mere obligation or compulsion. So that means what you lay hold of aggressively, give, not out of obligation, but out of freedom. God's been talking to me this week about receiving and giving. And no, I'm not talking about a financial talk this morning. I am talking about, let me just tell you what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about when you're in a situation and someone is saying something to you and you're reacting or you're responding, what's coming out of your heart, all right? So let me explain. If a runner is dehydrated, it can be really serious. Has anyone been dehydrated, like clinically dehydrated or whatever? I went to the hospital earlier this year because I actually thought I had appendicitis, which I did not, thank God. But I ended up, I guess, being dehydrated, which I don't really know if that was the reason I was having the issue. But whatever it was, they diagnosed me as dehydration. And I thought, oh no, I got to go drink a lake, right? So then Brian started pumping me with electrolytes. Does anyone like electrolytes? So Brian works out, and Brian, you know, does exercise. I don't do as much, if you can't tell. And so he started pumping me with electrolytes because I was diagnosed with dehydration that one time. Well, I went to get a follow-up blood test a couple months later, and they were like, you have too many electrolytes. Like, you overdosed in the hydration, right? So it's this fine balance. Don't be too dehydrated, and then don't do what Brian did to me, which was he gave me, like, all the drinks. Then anybody put salt in the water? I don't know. I'm like, you're putting salt in my water. This is disgusting. But apparently it makes it a natural free electrolyte, or lemon juice or lime juice, just as a heads up if you're ever dehydrated. But if you're a runner and you're dehydrated, it can be very serious. You can get muscle cramps. You can be dizzy. You can actually get heat stroke. And in the end, it could be life-threatening. It could be actually life-threatening if you're running dehydrated. And I love this because Judith didn't know I was preaching on this morning. And she basically said my theme verse right at the end of worship. So it must be on God's heart. She was saying, if you're thirsty, come and drink, right? And so this morning, I wanted to talk about receiving and giving, but because we're doing a whole runner's theme, I wanted to talk about spiritual dehydration this morning, all right? So spiritual dehydration has symptoms just like physical dehydration does, and I wrote down a few. Spiritual dehydration can look like impatience. It can look like being quick to be angry. It can look like discouragement, being critical, controlling, gossiping, addiction, or having no self-control, and I'm sure there's many more. But I don't know about you, but I have definitely found myself over the last 2 weeks touching on some spiritual dehydration in my life. And I think sometimes when we're being critical or controlling or angry or whatever it is, or snapping at people or being bitter, for me at least, if I find myself doing that, I'm like, well, that's wrong. I need to stop doing that, right? That's not okay. I need to stop. I need to work harder on this. Anyone ever said, I need to work harder on this? Thank you for being honest. I need to work harder on this. Well, this week, Brian and I, we were dealing with some sickness a couple weeks ago, and then the pipes burst, and I'm like, Jesus, I know you love me, but like, come on now, this is a lot to deal with. Anyone been there, right? This is a lot to deal with. And so I was praying, and God was saying, He suddenly, like, you know, have you ever been praying and you're like having a real spiritual moment, and then Jesus steps into your spiritual moment, and just like you thought you were having a spiritual moment, but really you weren't. And God actually brings breakthrough where you need to hear it. And it's very uncomfortable, right? He was like, so if you're giving discouragement, or you're giving out, you know, snapping or anger, what are you receiving? Because you're not receiving me, right? If I'm giving out anger instead of love, what am I receiving? If I'm giving out bitterness instead of forgiveness, what am I receiving? If I'm giving out complaining instead of thankfulness, what have I been receiving? If I'm giving out exhaustion instead of renewed strength, what have I been receiving? Are you guys tracking with me? Because this was a serious breakthrough I got this week. And God was saying, he's calling us as a church. He's calling you back to receiving him, not just giving, but receiving. And you know, in today is All-Star Sunday, right? So that's why it says Game Day MVP back there. We're not just going to ignore that whole setup. I don't know where the balloons went. I thought there were going to be balloons everywhere. So I'm glad that you didn't have to walk through the ocean of balloons I had to walk through this morning. They're hiding. That may have been a surprise. I just blew away. But anyway, it's All-Star Sunday. And after church, we're going to celebrate anybody who volunteered in 2021. And that was over 50 people. So first, can we just clap for that, right? But so that's, we're celebrating giving, and we're celebrating being a generous church. But I never want to emphasize giving more than receiving. Because if we do, we're going to start giving stuff that's not from God, right? And who wants to come to church and get a mouthful of something other than Jesus? Anybody? Now, unfortunately, we're all human, right? So it's going to happen. I hate to break it to you. We're not the perfect church. We're hopefully the perfect church for imperfect people, but that's it, right? But we are called to receive, so we actually have something to give. So Galatians 5:22, through 23 says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. And I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said, the Bible is not the light of the world. I thought, that sounds sacrilegious, but hang in there with me. The Bible is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. But the world does not read the Bible. The world reads Christians. You are the light of the world. So the people around us are dehydrated, and we have a call on us to be hydrated runners, to not be spiritually dehydrated runners trying to run our race exhausted or bitter or reacting or being quick to snap. Are you guys tracking? So John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. And it says in the Bible, you know, we love because he first loved us. We freely give because we first received. And so I wanted to just encourage us this morning that if you feel like you're in a place where you can't give anymore, that it's not a time to work harder on it or to buckle up or to suppress whatever emotion you're dealing with. It's a time to receive from God. And I really feel like God is calling us as a community to focus on receiving from him. And so I wanted to just quickly talk about what I'm calling two electrolytes, that are two electrolytes to hydrate us as runners in 2022, all right? So number one was walking in the Holy Spirit through the power of prayer. And this is what God has been speaking to me so strongly on over the last week. And he was commissioning me, God was commissioning me to pray very intentionally for our church community every day for a period of time. And I want to invite you to do that with me even. You know, February 1st starts, I think, is it tomorrow or Tuesday? Tuesday. I want to encourage you and ask you, do you want to commit with me to pray every day starting February 1st? And I'm going to give you a way to even pray. Has anyone ever been daunted by praying? It's like, oh my gosh, how do I do this? Like, is this going to be like the most boring 20 minutes of my life? Anybody? I mean, come on, right? You know, prayer sounds pretty boring until you realize you're talking to the creator of the universe, right? And until you realize you can actually hear the creator of the universe and you can actually dialogue with him and you can journal or you can read the Bible and you can see his voice speaking to you, right? And so I love this quote. Whenever God determines to do a great work, he first sets his people to pray. And if you know me at all, you know that from a very young age, I've had this vision to be a 24/7 prayer house. And at first, before I became the pastor here, I was like, well, maybe I'm supposed to go plan a prayer house. You know, I've been to Ireland. I went when I was, how old was I? Maybe 19. I read this book on the power of prayer, and there's this international prayer network over there called 24/7 Prayer, and they were having this international prayer conference. So when I was 19, I told my family, I'm going to go to Dublin, and I'm going to go to this prayer conference, and then we're going to go on a mission trip right after in Ireland. Has anyone been to Ireland? Anyone? It's absolutely cold. It's so cold. Oh, you went in August. God bless you. I don't know when I went, but it was freezing. I know Judith wants to move there. God bless her. I just want to move somewhere tropical, but that's okay. It is not tropical in Ireland. It was so cold. But when I got there, I didn't know anybody. And I'm in the city of Dublin, and it was dark, you know, so I'm like trying not to get kidnapped or something. Don't watch Taken, right, if you're a female or a male, right, and you're going traveling when you're 19. So I'm like, I didn't watch that until recently for that reason. But anyway, I was there and, you know, they're only pubs open. So I'm like walking in and they're only like all these guys like drinking beer. And so I like leave the pub and I try to find another pub that had like, you know, a menu or something with food. It's a whole different culture over there. But once the conference started the next day, I started making friends and there were people from all over the world that had given their lives to prayer. And it was absolutely incredible. When we filled the space, all these different nations, I don't know how many there were, but there were hundreds of people in this big church, and we were worshiping together. And one of my favorites was there was this monk that was there. Yes, like an actual monk, right? He wasn't Catholic. He was Protestant. And he had given his whole life to prayer. And he looked just like Caleb. You know, he wasn't looking all weird or anything like that, which is fine if monks do that, but he just looked like a regular guy, but he had devoted his entire life to God and in prayer, and it was so inspiring and so challenging. And then when, you know, when you get back home, suddenly all the prayer, it doesn't always look so magical or international or, you know, interesting, right? But God is moving in power, and I promise you, if you sit down to pray, he will meet you. He will meet you. You might not feel it, but he is moving. And as I've sat down to pray this past week, I have felt God's presence like I have never felt it before, one-on-one with God. He has just fallen. And usually it's at the end of my prayer when I'm just about giving up. I'm like, well, I think I've, you know, prayed, and then God will fall. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never actually done that daily, to sit down with God and to actually pray, I want to encourage you to do that. One of the ways 24/7 prayer encourages people to pray, I love this. If you've got notes, you can write this down, or a phone. They encourage you to start by pausing, right? How many know that when you sit down to pray, sometimes you just need to pause. You need to settle your mind. So pause. This is a 10-minute outline. Pause for a minute. Number two, rejoice. So this can be like reading a psalm or putting a worship song on, getting your focus off of your problems and on to God, right? Prayer gets our focus from the problems to the provider. If you just spend your prayer time trying to convince God of how big your problem is, that's not prayer, right? Prayer is actually surrendering our problem to the provider, to God. Number three, ask. Tell God what's on your heart. Pray through your day. You know, if you're going to meet somebody, or if you're having an issue in your family or with your child or in your finances, pray through your day. If you have a prayer list, you know, write down some names. As a church, we started the new year off doing the 70-day challenge, or we ended the year off by doing the 70-day challenge, where we prayed for 70 days for friends and family that don't know Jesus to get saved and to get plugged into a life-giving church. And then we started the new year off by writing down names, those names. So some of the names that are on the post-it, some of them are not, and giving them to us so that we could pray every day for this year, so that you guys wouldn't be alone in your prayer for the lost, right? So number four is yield. Read a few verses from the New Testament until a phrase pops out. So if you've never just read from the New Testament, you know, try the book of John. John is an amazing book to read from, or Ephesians. I like the letters especially. And then I love this. They actually say to end with the Lord's Prayer. So if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, it's a fantastic prayer to memorize. And, you know, in this church, we're not into, like, memorizing all these doctrine things. But this is a great prayer because it's actually how Jesus taught us to pray. So if you're going to memorize one prayer, memorize the one that Jesus said to memorize. How's that, right? That's not religious. That's just Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to get into a prayer lifestyle in this new year, because it's going to hydrate you. It's going to give you the strength that you need to face the mountains that you're going to face in your week, all right? Number two is reading the Bible. And I understand that if you've been walking with God for a while, you might be like, this is really basic message. Well, I hear you, but I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and for some reason, this is what he was speaking to me this week. So if you're already praying and you're already reading the Bible, yes, that's fantastic. Hear what I'm saying and see, okay, God, but what does it look like to take the next step in this, all right? So number two is reading the Bible. And I love this. You know, start zoomed out. The Bible is 66 books. It's got over 40 authors. It's been written over this time period. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but Pastor Drake, who was a guest speaker we had here a few months ago, he was absolutely incredible. He's actually been to Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. He has seen the top of the mountain that is burned from the cloud, right, and the fire when God fell on Mount Sinai with Moses, right? It's actually still there. It's incredible. But he'd also talked with missionaries who had literally walked on water. He has seen the dead raised. He has seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. It's incredible what he's seen. But what I loved about Pastor Drake was that he had this desire and this love for the Bible. And he actually had these timelines that you could open up and you could see, for example, that like Ezekiel and Jeremiah were alive at the same time. Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? So this Bible that we've got here, it's not just, it's 100% the Word of God, all right? But if you actually look at it closer, you can see that the Word of God, he's actually weaving Jesus through the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, how Jeremiah even reflects some of Jesus and getting into it and studying it. And so I want to encourage you, if reading the Bible has been kind of boring for you or you haven't understood it, I want to encourage you to pray before you get into the Word and ask God, God, breathe your life on this, right? And then ask these two questions. So what does it mean for me, all right? And then what can I do with it this week? What's one thing I'm going to do differently after reading this Bible, all right? I want to encourage you to get into it every day and ask those two questions. You know, if you're wanting to go a step further, researching the author, Paul is just this incredible man of God. I've been to Athens and I've been to Corinth and to Thessaloniki, and I've stood where 1 Corinthians was written to, and I've stood in the temple destruction there and read what all the awful stuff that used to happen in Corinth. And suddenly what he's writing in 1 Corinthians makes so much sense because he was actually writing it to a real group of people, right? It was a specific letter. So if you're looking to take your Bible reading to the next level, start researching the author. What was the time period? What was going on historically when this was written? All right? And if you're not totally like geeking out on that, because obviously I love geeking out on that kind of thing, because I'm going to preach, I'm going to bring the Word. But it's an easy thing to do just to ask God, God, what does this mean for me? And what am I going to do differently this week? I promise you one thing, you will not run to win in 2022 if you are not actively praying and you're not actively reading your Bible every day. If you're wondering why you can't succeed or you're wondering why you're not breaking through, get in the Word and get in the presence of God every day. And I'm not saying this to fill a religious duty. I'm saying this because we get to know who God is and who God's character is through the Scripture and through prayer. And God is a God who is after relationship with us, right? And so this message is a really simple message, but it's really important. And if you just want to stand, we're going to end here. The reason I today was almost like a little bit more of a teaching, which if you caught last Sunday's message was way more of a preaching, which I like more. And next Sunday will be more preaching too. But if we're talking about taking the next step in our faith, we got to go over the basics that are not just basic. They're actually the electrolytes of running. They're the hydration that Jesus died to give us. They're the living waters. He said, I am the living waters. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So as this is All-Star Sunday, where we're celebrating everyone who served in 2021, we can't just celebrate everyone who gave without celebrating receiving. Because when you come and you serve in this church, whether you're serving in the parking lot all the way to the platform, right? We don't elevate one over the other. And if you know me, I was cleaning toilets a couple weeks ago. So we really don't elevate one over the other, all right? But what I'm saying is, if you come in here to serve, I want you to know that we are creating a culture of receiving God and sharing God with each other as we serve. We're not just like volunteering at another local charity, which is great to do, but we are actually into changing lives and being changed by serving. And the only way we can do that is by receiving God, all right? So I'm going to close out here, and I just want to pray for anybody right now who has been in a season where you feel like you just can't overcome the obstacle, where you feel like you just can't take the next step and you cannot figure out why. And I want to just bless you right now with a hunger for God's word and a hunger to pray like you never have before. You know, praying doesn't have to look like sitting in a quiet room. It can look like blasting your favorite kind of worship music. It can look like jumping up and down. It can look like writing. It can look like painting. However you want to communicate to God, that is prayer. That is intercession. It's getting to know God. And even with the scriptures, you know, sometimes singing the word of God, if you're musical, or just writing a verse down, or I love Pastor Brian. He actually has rap New Testament. It's the entire New Testament wrapped, and it's phenomenal. And he'll just blast it while he's working out. All right. So I'm not talking about some hyper religious thing here. I'm saying, how can you get the word of God in your body? If you need to rap it, if you need to paint it, if you need to say it, if you need to dance it, if you need to shout it, if you need to just sit there and meditate on it, however you do it, I want to encourage us as a church that there is nothing more exciting than taking the next step in God. And it will always be involved with prayer and reading the Bible, receiving before we can give. Amen. So I'm just going to pray to end here. God, I just thank you right now for awakening a desire to read and to connect with you through your word like never before in this church. God, I thank you that you are just falling on us, Holy Spirit. It says that Holy Spirit prays and groans within us. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are God on earth. You are the presence of God living and breathing and moving on earth, God, that we don't have to wait to die to get to heaven to feel you or to experience you, but you sent your spirit here to be with us, to never forsake us, to walk with us, to comfort, to teach us, to lead us, God, and to even pray through us. And so, Father, I thank you that you're just releasing your Holy Spirit power right now over every person. Whether you are facing school or work or financial or family or relational challenges this morning, there is the same God, just like we sang earlier today, the same God in this space, inviting you into a living relationship with him, a living relationship where he doesn't just use you, he actually gives to you. He wants you to receive. He wants you to be loved before you love. He wants you to realize that you are loved so that you can love. He wants to give so that you can give as freely as you've received. So, Father, I just thank you for a refreshment falling on every person here and a hunger for you like never before. And if there's anybody here this morning that wants to rededicate their life to God or give their life to you, I just ask right now that you would just say this after me. Jesus, I give my life back to you. I repent and I turn from anything that I have been turning to instead of you, Jesus. And I give my life back to you. And I welcome you to come change me and to come walk with me every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I hope this message touched you. I'm telling you, I'm like on fire here, but I also felt that the words I was saying were kind of simple. But sometimes a vitamin is simple, but it can change your life, right? An electrolyte. If you miss drinking water, even though it's very basic, trust me, you won't be here next Sunday, right? You'll probably be in the hospital. And some of us are missing the water that God died to give us. And I just want to encourage you, get in the word. Get in prayer, not out of a religious duty. Look up the rap, all right? If you want that information, text me or Pastor Brian, right? But get into God's presence and come alive in your faith this week. And then next Sunday, we're going to have a whole celebration with testimonies and how God is moving in our midst, and it's very powerful, all right? So God bless you. Be a witness for Jesus this week. Invite someone to church next Sunday, and we will see you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.